Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, even though Hard Knocks didn't really dive into the George Pickens situation, we certainly can. Everybody sort of thinking ahead, is this a guy worth putting money into? What's going to happen? Do people change? Have receivers around here who have shown inclinations to be problematic? Have they changed or have they gotten worse and been pushed out of town? That's sort of a rhetorical question. Question. The answer is they've gotten worse and have been pushed out of town. Does he fit that mold? Like, how is it a question of how long can you stave off the nuclear explosion here? Mm-hmm. Like how long? Did you get 3 years out of him? Or can he legitimately change? Or is this not that big a deal? I know a lot of fans think that Pickens gets overly criticized. What's your take on the whole George Pickens dilemma?
Well, I was. You know, I'm expecting him to show more maturity. And Mike Tomlin said that last week at his post-game press conference, that he needs to grow up. And I think everyone's waiting for to see that. That's an internal thing that you have to go through, but it's been an entire college career and now 3 years as a pro. I would expect that, you know, I don't want to take his passion away. I think this is a tightrope that a lot of coaches will find with players who are really at their best when they're engaged and passionate, but you have to guard against what comes after that. So can he turn that off, that side of the passion? Can he make the plays? Can he, without displaying things that lead to penalties? The last thing you want is for something like this to cost them a game. And if it does, you know, now it's crossed the line. I think Mike Tomlin knows how to deal with him. I do. He's done this over the years with different players. He's gotten maximum effort out of them, and then eventually maybe that changes. For George Pickens, I see a very talented guy, and I'm very intrigued with what he can do down the field. I think he's one of the best at making plays in tight coverage because he has the leaping ability, he has the natural height, he has the strong hands, he contorts his body. We've seen evidence of this already. So I don't want to necessarily take that away in terms of what it means to my pass game. I think Mike Tomlin, that's his job. Get the most out of him with controlling that temper or that need to, you know, show off, get in trouble that way.
But he's not, right? I mean,
so
Tomlin's not doing that.
Well, I mean, he's trying. I don't see evidence that it's changing. Moving forward, it has to change. You know, he's going to come to a point where he has to get a contract extension. It's 3 years into this.
If you had to
so
make
in the offseason, they're going
to
decide, do right. They want to extend him or not? The talent is so intriguing that I would definitely want him back, but I got to see some things, and he has to show me.
Well, we're always leaning one way or the other, and you can chime in on this at 412-928-9370. We're always leaning one way or the other, I think, most of us on Pickens as to whether he would be a good long-term investment. Let me say first that today is the Fans' Day of Giving, and we're asking you to support us as we raise money for the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. Domestic violence does not discriminate. It affects adults and children of all ages, race, religion, and financial background. Last year, the Women's Shelter of Pittsburgh served over 7,500 adult survivors and children. We're dedicating today to raise money to help with their holiday program to buy gift cards for those in need. It's very simple. Just go to the homepage, 937thefan.com. Click on the fan for the win story at the top of the page, and then click the donate button. So we're going to keep coming back to that all day. Very proud to be part of this today. We're going to have a couple people come in and talk about it as well. In the meantime, it's, you know, as Tomlin would say, arrow pointed up or down. For me, it's, in spite of what's been going on lately, it's slightly pointed up just because of this dude's sheer talent. I think he's easily one of the five most talented receivers on the planet right now. But I can't help but think back to draft day when Bruce Feldman, who's really good at The Athletic, quoted multiple scouts and receiver coaches in the NFL who were wary of taking Pickens, who you'll notice, you know, dropped or lasted a long time in the draft. One scout, quote, "There's a lot of upside, but he can't get out of his own way. He's been enabled his whole life." I think you could ask, is he still being enabled? Although Tomlin did bench him, essentially, earlier this year. One coach in the NFL, "You love his game, but there's some issues. Do you want to work with him? I wouldn't touch him." Those are some pretty powerful things that I think speak to what NFL teams were thinking of. So right now, even with the issues, Bob, I think it looks like the Steelers outfox those teams because I think he's done more to help them win than hurt them for sure. But I wonder moving forward in these past 2 weeks have just been crazy. Like they tell these players before the season what you can and can't do. Mimicking a gunshot is one they don't want you to do. And dropping a ball on somebody's one they don't want you to do. Have I seen them let it go? Yes, but all eyes are on George. Gee, I wonder why when he has the F word on his eye black for a game, you know, and punts the ball into the stands.
That was concerning. And even after all the stuff that we saw last week, I thought the last play in Cleveland was more revealing, too, that he was that disengaged or that taken out of the play, either by himself or with Newsom or both. But you can't do that. You have to be in a position to make a play. So when that supersedes your own team's destiny in terms of whether I win this game or not, then there's a problem. So, but the talent is intriguing. At this point, I'm leaning toward trying to figure out a deal for him.
So am I.
I love the talent.
And I haven't always been.
No, but I mean, you get freakish talent. You know, I'm sure if you ask fans right now, if they called in and said, if you were guaranteed to get 100 catches, 1,200 yards, and 12 touchdowns from George Pickens, how much would you tolerate? And the answer would be a lot.
I'm sure.
And I'm hoping you get, you know, one without the other. That's what I'm hoping for because the talent is so intriguing and they need that sort of talent. They've invested 3 years, they want to do more, but it's up to him to show them that he's worth the investment.
Yeah, man. We had Peter King on late last year and he said he pointed to a problem that we all saw last year. He said, and I quote, "It bothers me that Deontay Johnson and George Pickens do not play all out on every snap. Mm-hmm. Somehow, some way that must get fixed." I'm not sure it's been fixed. The thing that bothered me the most was what you mentioned, the Hail Mary. I'm still confused as to how that really went down. Mm-hmm. He seemed to be more concerned with, you know, avenging something or fighting back against an individual than winning the game. And then earlier this year when it seemed like he was not running all out on routes. I mean, that's what the tape don't
lie. Right. That's another thing. If you're not in a play, that doesn't mean you're not in a play. You still have to do your job of selling stuff. You still have to anticipate down the field. There could be a block that you could make if somebody gets loose. And if you're not in position to make it, then you're letting your team down. But I got to believe, at least I hope so, that the guys who've been around in this locker room for a long time will get his ear and tell him that kind of stuff. Not just Tomlin, but others as well.
For sure. I mean, but it's not working. I'm sure they have. It's not working to the extent that I think you would like to see it work because it could have cost them a game or two, the last two. You know, he helped maybe in the Browns game cost them a game. And then there was the Cincy stuff. But then again, it's seven catches or six for 85 yards, just electric stuff. You know, he had seven for 113 earlier this year. He smoked the Jets. He's an unbelievable talent. Is Limits available back there, Bob? Or is
he on the
phone?
I think he's taking calls.
I wanted to solicit his opinion. But both of us lean toward that. I think Russell Wilson is very helpful here, although you wouldn't know it, I guess, from the past 2 weeks. But watching that Hard Knocks last night, not just with that, but in general, that guy has, I think, a contagious effect on this team. I really do, Bob. I mean, the fact, first of all, he has to be able to play, and he's doing that. But beyond that, there's something about him, and that's why those guys went out and lobbied for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why Hayward and Watt and those guys, they wanted somebody who had been there and done that. They've never done it. Even the great players here have never done it.
But they also knew what was missing for it to be done.
Yeah.
You know, that's, yeah, so, you know, the bottom line with him is that I want to see effort on every single play. You got to get through to him on effort on every single play. Because he has shown me that he can be an engaging and a good blocker down the field, too.
I know.
When he does it, he can do it. He has to have that mentality on every single play. He also cannot let people get under his skin.
Well, that's again, the thing that he's vulnerable
to. Quote after the Cleveland game, he didn't need to go there. You didn't need to say that, knowing you got him up in a couple of weeks. And that kind of stuff, to me, doesn't help anything. We say they're not a good team. Who are we kidding?
They're sitting around there in Cleveland, I mean, and everywhere else saying, let's go after this guy verbally and let's get him to blow up.
Once you have that reputation, they're going to come after you and they're going to test it.
Right, and it happened in Cincy. It happened a couple times. Limits, are you with us right now? In spite of the issues, Bob and I leaning toward, I'd sign Pickens in the offseason. I've gone back and forth, admittedly. Yeah,
me too. Hesitantly, I would sign him. Partly because of just the room around George Pickens. He's being able to thrive despite being double-teamed, despite nobody in this wide receiver room really being able to put up numbers even close to him, being the main weapon, and everyone knows he's the main weapon on this team, and they still, at times, opponents cannot shut him down. So, yeah, I would pay Pickens, try to get the number down, even though I know he's going to want top five money in the NFL. But I would try to use some of that against Pickens. Like, hey, you know, you still need to grow up in this regard. There's this thing you can point out, this thing you can point out. Maybe we give you more of a backloaded deal or an incentivized deal where I would sign him for a 3-4 year term.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's hit the phone lines, oh, limitless wonder.
Here is Dave in Delmont.
Hey, Dave.
Hey Dave.
Bob.
See?
I'm just kidding.
Dave in Delmont, you fell for that.
It's the alliteration.
You did it. You went to it not thinking whatsoever.
Is it a prank call?
No, Dave's a real caller.
No.
He didn't call for anything.
I'm just saying you did not have your antennas up, Joe. You took that knowing it could have been an alliteration Hey Joe call.
I couldn't help myself. Hey, Pickens, I love him to death. But you know what? Eventually his misgivings are going to overcome his talent. If he does this in a playoff game and makes us lose the game and knocks us out of the playoffs, how about his agent telling him, hey, if you keep doing bonehead things like this, you're not going to make as much money in your next contract if people hold this against you.
Hold on a second here. Hold on, and I appreciate your point. Is this Todd from the PM show in disguise?
Not that I know.
Bob, tell me this isn't the same guy. Dave from Delmont, listen to your spiritual brother, Todd, on what he would do with Pickens. You sound just like him, and I mean that as a compliment. Are you sure that wasn't you, Dave?
No, but he's exactly right. I mean, somebody's got to tell this guy to be the better person every once in a while.
They're all telling him stuff like that. I think what I just read from those scouts and coaches, Bob, was the concern about Pickens that he's been enabled because he's so wildly talented. We see it from anybody out there listening has seen it in sports, either as a parent watching what's happening, as an athlete yourself, as a coach, anything. We've all seen it. If you're really good, you get away with crap. And that's just the way it is. Right, Bob?
Yeah, but other players, too, they get treated like this and they go the other way. They're upstanding people. They know what to do, and they don't want to lose a game over an idiotic move.
Well, here's the bottom line. I still think talent always will win out. If you have a guy who's very talented and can make that significant of a difference to your game, you're going to win out as long as you don't do anything really off the charts. And I don't think he's done this kind of nuisance stuff here that gets under people's skin, that results in penalties, gets under the ire of your coach. But – He can change that.
Trying is off the charts for me, and he's been guilty of that a couple times.
And the end of the game in Cleveland still resonates to me because I don't know what he was thinking there. That's a big, potentially a big play if you make it.
But I sure do like the idea of a motivated George Pickens going into a game. Jay Caulfield coming up top of the hour talking about how the Penguins have suddenly become an interesting story. But, Bob, I want to talk not only more about Pickens, but also about Russell Wilson. Dan Graziano, I think, is a very good reporter, talking that it's, quote, not hard to imagine Russell Wilson getting a big contract from another team this offseason. And I know we're projecting ahead, but let's just say Russ keeps playing well. Like, you know, he might not be Josh Allen, but he might just be turning in a top 10 or so season in the NFL this year, maybe higher if this keeps going. How does this play out? I mean, the key question maybe being, is he going to shoot for top dollar or is he happy in Pittsburgh and is he happy with the money he already has? And would he take a discount? Like, how can you imagine this playing out?
Well, age is a primary concern here for both sides. He's 36 now, going to be 37 midseason next year. We have seen, you know, most guys get in this situation, there is a precipitous fall off in the game. But he's also, you know, playing in a way that reminds you of his heyday in Seattle. So the question would be, how many years is anyone talking about? And the bigger thing for him, I think, is, are you comfortable where you are and do you think you have a chance to win? Because it seems to me that that's his number one thing. When you talk to him, it's about winning. He's made enough money. His wife makes money. They have no money issues whatsoever. However, you want to be, you know, treated fairly in the market. So I would think it depends on how many years he can get, if that is value to him, or is it more important to be on a team that he thinks can compete and he feels very comfortable in, and has, you know, changed his whole professional dynamic going from Denver, where he's basically kicked out of town.
Yeah.
You know, he needed to come to a place like this. And I think the Steelers were a perfect opening because they needed somebody like him to come here.
Imagine the leverage he has going into the offseason with the Steelers if he wanted to exercise it. That thought just struck me. A franchise that was desperate for a quarterback, and I mean desperate. And they appear to have struck gold here. I don't think anybody, including them, thinks that Justin Fields is going to be the guy, especially not as early as next season. Nobody would feel comfortable handing the reins to him. I don't think.
But it depends on how far you look down the road here, too. And if you think, and they know by working with him what he is capable of, has he shown progress? He's so young. I still, there's a part of me that doesn't want to let that element go either.
I wouldn't trust it next year, and I tend to think when you're this far into a career that Justin is, that he's an okay quarterback, but I think you know by now if you have a guy, and I think the passing part of the game is an issue for him.
Yeah, but I think, you know, guys take different situations. I look at Sam Darnold. He's been how many teams now he's been with, and looked like his career is pretty much over as a starter, and yet he gets a second life going to a team that brought him into a system that he does well with. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't rule that out against Justin Fields, but I also think it comes down to what Russell Wilson wants. The Steelers can make him a nice offer, but if it's not enough years or money, then he can say, you know, I need more based on what I've done.
Well, I think
he'll sacrifice some of that to be with
a team that
could win.
So do I. And I think his leverage, I think he has all the leverage in the world, because I don't think that they're comfortable handing the reins to Justin Fields, nor do I think
you also have, don't you, the opportunity to franchise him if you can't figure something out, or if he wants something different. Can you do that?
Is that right?
I'm wondering, because he's being paid by somebody else. Well, not. I mean,
I don't know.
Are paying him,
I'll be honest. I'd have to
check that too.
Get confirmation. But I agree with you. I don't think that Russell is going to exercise all of that. The top quarterbacks per year make, you know, Prescott's at 60. Oh, my God. Trevor Lawrence, they paid $275 million, 55 a year. Jordan Love at 55. Joe Burrow at 55. Tua, 53. Other guys over 50. Goff, Herbert, Lamar, and Hurts. Kyler Murray right up there. Who's a comparable to this? Kirk Cousins at his age. What was his deal? Limitless wonder.
$185 million or something of that nature. Right, 4 years.
4 years, 180. So that's about $45 million a year. Matthew Stafford, you just told me, was what?
It's 4 and 120 or 160 that he signed an extension with the Rams.
Okay, so that's 40. Derek Carr, he's in his lower 30s. He signed for 37.5 a year. What about a Baker deal, Bob? 3 years for $100 million. Does that sound reasonable for Russell, a Baker Mayfield deal?
I think, especially if you could spread it out over those 3 years, yes. And it's more helpful to them in putting together a team with money to spend in free agency. But the question is, you know, how motivated is he to be in that upper echelon of prices
that
if he has a
question.
Good year? I don't know what he's thinking. But I could only bet
what
if my gut
40?
Would tell me $40 million a year.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he's making now. Based on, and the only difference is you have to pay it all next year. Denver can't help you there. But that's reasonable to me based on the market.
Something tells me that Russell really values this situation and wants to win and believes he'll have a chance to keep winning here. But who knows? You can't predict. What if another team swoops in here?
Well, I'm surprised nobody did. Maybe a few did, but he chose the Steelers, which was a good choice for him. I'm surprised a lot of people wouldn't do that last year, citing, again, not a bad year in Denver. And for whatever reason, it just, you know,
I think
went
age,
in a different direction.
I think the way he was perceived, rightly or wrongly, in that whole Denver situation, especially when he got there, I think people thought he was cooked. I think this is the only situation where he was promised something, which was at least to start in, quote, pole position. I think this was the only place, Bob. And I think they got lucky.
They got lucky because they didn't have anybody.
Right.
They got rid of the whole room.
Yeah. I mean, they were smart in a way, too, because he did have a good year in Denver, and they saw a guy who could still move around enough, still had the arm. Obviously, you're not going to lose all the intangibles, things like that. I think Russell Wilson, if I had to project, would sign a three-year deal here, will sign a three-year deal here, for somewhere in the neighborhood of 40, maybe a little less, but somewhere in that neighborhood. That's my prediction with Russ. How about you?
Yeah, it sounds reasonable to me. So it just depends on whether, you know, the ultimate say is what he wants. And I would bet he'd sacrifice money to stay here. If that's what it takes, he'll get it done. He's made enough money. His wife makes a lot of money. How much money do you need, really?
Well, people don't think like that, but in this situation,
when you're 36 and facing the end of your career at some point,
you
want to win.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that trump everything else?
Russell Wilson has made $305 million.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I think every impression you get is that he absolutely loves it here. And he's helping them win. You figure he would have a shot to win here, but you still got to sign him. 412-928-9370. Wilson and Pickens on the table here. What do you got, Limits?
Well, let's go to Rick and Freedom.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
You know, the whole Pickens deal, if you look at the history of our receivers, everyone down the line, once they got money, just lost any maturity that they might have. And, you know, I have to agree with Bob. I would need to see him giving it all on every play. And one player that I look at that we currently have that on any play you can tell is given over 100% is Skronek. If Pickens would play with the same attitude that Skronek has, I'd have no problem paying him as a top five receiver.
We're really going to the Skronek example.
Well, guys like Ben Skronek, though, these are the guys who, you know, they grow up knowing they may not have a chance in the NFL. They have to do everything possible, and I think that carries with them through their entire career. A guy like Jaylen Warren. Jaylen Warren had a fight and claw for everything he got. Any free agent, undrafted, is like that. When you're number one pick, unfortunately, things change. You think you don't have to do all that sometimes, and there are a lot of examples of it. To his point, Deontay Johnson got a big deal from the Steelers. Maybe not as big as he wanted, but it was big for them.
He should have been more like Skronek, Bob, Deontay.
Why not? No, you know my point. But the point is, for those guys who have to earn it the hard way, I think they appreciate it more, and it carries on with them. Guys who are number one picks, in the high end, second round, whatever the case may be, you know, the money comes in. And you take it for granted maybe a little bit, and you just say, I'm going to be here because I'm talented.
I'm not sure that that would work with George to say be more like
I'm not
Pat.
Saying specifically
I
be
think
like
he
him.
Was, though. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think he used that as an example. Guys who work their butts off because they know they have no other choice.
Right. And George
That attitude
George
would be great
knows.
With a guy who has a lot of talent.
Yeah.
You see that with Sidney Crosby. He's still the hardest working guy on their team despite his position in the league.
Right. But you take George with all that. That's what we just talked about at the beginning of the show. From the time that athletes are 7 years old, they get benefits if they're talented and they get treated differently. Especially we're not talking about a guy who's good. Like, you know, oh yeah, he's pretty talented. We're talking about a freak who might be the most freakish athlete. He's in the top 5 or 10 in the whole damn league.
Yeah, he does stuff with his body that nobody else can do, really, when you look at it, and makes these circus catches. So I want him to be here, but I want him to understand the role. And if he's going to get that kind of money, it comes with it a responsibility to carry on every single play. You can't get away from that.
Limits, are you on the be like Skronik bandwagon?
Blocking wise, yes. The physical attributes of being a wide receiver, probably not.
Who's next?
Here is Scott in Atlanta.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
What's up, Scott?
Hey, so just a little different side to Pickens. Chris Boswell and I play golf together when in the off season, so he got a ticket to the Falcons game with my son, who graduated from Georgia, actually graduated with Pickens. He gets us in the friends and family afterwards, and my son's like, hey, Dad, let's go up and meet George. So we approach him, and I'm telling you, this kid is articulate. He was nice, engaging. Just started talking with my son for, you know, 6-7 minutes. So, you know, we hear all this other stuff, and none of that's excusable. But I'm telling you, the kid is sharp. He is not one of these, in my opinion, one of these kids that just thinks he's, you know, aloof or better than everybody else. So I just want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I know he's young, all that talent. But, I mean, I was blown away. I mean, I'm a 60-year-old guy, so I was blown away at this young man. So I just think I'd sign him. Let's commit to him. And I think the future is really, really bright for him.
Well, that's good to hear from someone who knows him personally very well. It's just the childish stuff that has to get rid of his part of his game. I just don't want to see that. I don't think anything... And when you don't run because you're not involved in the play, that's a bad precedent to set. You're going to be looked at as the leader of that wide receiver room. What you do is watched by everyone else who comes in there. So, therefore, there's a responsibility to that.
Yeah, it's not, for me, it's not attacking him as a person, as a human being at all. It's what are you doing on the football field or not doing that's either going to hurt or help this team to win? That's the question. And giving less than your best effort, that's a non-starter. And it apparently was for Mike Tomlin because George, you know, had the softest benching ever. Do you remember that, Bob? How
yes.
Tomlin phrased that? The word salad he used to basically say he's been benched. And Artie Smith, too, went along with that saying, oh, yeah, Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown, we used to, their snap count. No, he got benched. So that combined with the Cleveland thing, combined with stuff last year, not blocking, combined with stuff after the play in the Cincy game, it's just time, really. It's time to get past this crap. And that was interesting to see on Hard Knocks, Tomlin make it a point to go up to Pickens and say, are you with me? That play doesn't decide the game. Are you with me? Are you with me? You know, and Pickens finally says, yes, sir, or something like that. Do we need, I guess he does. I guess Tomlin feels the need to tend to this guy in every situation, almost like he needs to be babysat through everything. And maybe because he's 23, he does, Bob. Maybe he does need that.
But again, he's 3 years into his professional career now. I'm sure he's gotten to the understanding, he should have by now, that you know how he carries on, even when he's not with the football on the field, and you can't get engaged in and the reputation that comes with when someone knows they get under your skin, it spreads like wildfire.
Well, it hasn't gotten through to him. He doesn't know, or he knows and refuses to go by the rules. You know?
Yeah, talent is still
he's
too intriguing for me. If I had to tell you right now what I would do, I'd want to sign him.
Me too. Jake Caulfield next.
Can I throw something at you? This is an interesting thought. Somebody on Twitter hit us up. both of us. Perfect Game 06 says, okay, let's talk about something else then if you want to extend about the golden at-bat.
Oh, my God.
The
no,
guy
I
said,
don't.
No, he says golden pitch. How about golden pitch? Pitcher throws only one pitch. Golden batter gets one chance. A strike, either called or swung on. He's out. A ball and all the runners score.
That would be unbelievable.
You would do that.
I'm for anything that's for fun and entertainment. I'd have to think about that one, Bob. I want baseball to be fun. It's an old, slow game that is desperately fighting for its existence in a sped-up world. And Rob Manfred recognized that some pretty radical thinking was going to have to occur to give it a chance to survive. And yet, does he overstep those bounds? You think he did here. I'm sure most people do. But I respect the thinking.